putting out a movie that The Chosen has put out. It's called the Christmas with The Chosen. And I want to encourage you this weekend. They're doing it from Friday till Monday, and then I think they have a Wednesday showing. And it's about basically The Chosen, the story of Jesus, and there's music in it, and I've heard raving reviews about it. And so I just want to encourage you, my family's going today at 2 p.m. They have a 6 p.m. as well, and then I think they have Monday night and Wednesday. So you might want to consider going. I hear it's really good. I'll tell you more about it after we see it. But well, Christmas time is a busy time. It's a time of stress, and we hear all these words like hope and joy and peace, and yet we live in a world that has a different kind of taste, a different kind of perspective on these words. And so peace is the word that I often say to my friends. I say, when I say goodbye to somebody, I say, peace. You may have heard that. And I thought of that, and why do I say that is possibly because I want people to maybe have a sense of calmness in their life. Perhaps I want to have maybe for them to have less stress in their life, not that a word that I would say, you know, peace, that would give them more of that, or less of stress and more peace. Or maybe to find tranquility. I'm hoping that they'll find that. But peace, the world talks about this peace, and the definition, here's some words for the definition. Freedom from disturbance, tranquility, harmony in personal relations, a state of period or a period in which there is no war or war has ended. Now, we know, and you know, and I know, that there have been attempts at peace over and over and over again in our world. You know, you hear it, you see it on the news, you see it on the titles of the articles, you know, searching for peace and looking to have a peace treaty and trying to have peace in the Middle East. And then the peace that each individual is trying to find. I'm wondering if you've had success in that, finding peace. I would think most of us would want more peace in our lives, like I talked about last week. I think we'd want more joy in our lives too. And so there's definite unrest in our world. In fact, just this weekend, there have been hurricanes, tornadoes that have hit the middle of our United States, central United States, and many have died, many have been injured, multiple states, and there's just unrest because of that storm. We know there's unrest in the Middle East, one place in particular, Afghanistan, where Taliban rule. We know that there's unrest in our government across the board, whether there's this immoral act or dishonesty, there is unrest. There's unrest in our families, in our country, who are possibly facing loss of jobs in a new year. You name it. There's unrest all around us. Maybe you personally you need some more peace in your life. Well, the peace that we're going to look at this morning is not calm and tranquility. It is deeper than that. It is richer than that. And it doesn't come from inside us. It comes from the Prince of Peace. It's really rare if you find someone that is at peace all the time and experiencing total peace, right? Perhaps you and I, we've all had a tough year, a season of life, and there hasn't been much peace in your life. It seems like there's conflicts in our relationships, and there's trial after trial, and just maybe complete mayhem. And you think, if only I could get away for a day or a week, and I'd find some peace for a moment. But in the midst of trial, we talked about you can find joy last week. In the midst of difficulties, you can find peace. And the peace that I'm talking about is a different peace than the world is offering. It's not a moment of peace. It's not a no crying baby peace, peace and quiet. It is something more than that. In fact, the song that we sang, Away in the Manger, it says that Jesus wasn't crying. Now think about that. A baby not crying? I mean, maybe they were talking about that very moment. He was calm and he wasn't crying. Jesus came in, he probably cried. Hopefully that doesn't ruin the song for you. The point is that peace that we're looking at today is not quiet and calm and tranquil. Christmas is about God who chose to come down from heaven into a messy, chaotic, painful world. Why? Because he loved us. He came into this world that was messy. Jesus was God in the flesh. And in the Bible, it tells us that he is the Prince of Peace, who brings peace, who changes chaos into order, he changes chaos into something with order. He changes confusion into clarity. He brings restoration to broken communities and ruined lives because of sin. His name is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and what? Prince of Peace. When I think of a prince, I think of someone who calls the shots, someone who is in charge. And if he is in charge, which I believe he is, and he carries that peace with him, he is the peace that we can have. I wonder if everyone who heard the prophecies of the Old Testament, the Jews and all the people that heard the prophecies, I wonder if they believed that Jesus was going to come as this full-grown king with a sword and he was going to conquer their enemies. I get this kind of idea that's what they were thinking that would happen, and yet Jesus came as a babe in a manger, in a trough. And this is what it says in Luke 2, verses 8. And there were shepherds. Can we get that up on the screen? And there were shepherds, thank you, living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." The Prince of Peace gives to those to whom his favor rests. Favor is grace given to us that we do not deserve. If you know the Prince and you have a relationship with him, most likely he will give you that peace. There's always that one friend, right? That one friend that stands out. We had a memorial service for Rick yesterday, and over again, the stories that I heard were he was always there. He would always have the resources and the tools, and he would help, and he would bring that resource to you to help you in your struggle, in your task. The same thing with the Prince of Peace. When we are in a chaotic world, when we are in turmoil, when we are in difficulty, when we are in mourning of a loss of life or whatever, the Prince of Peace can give you peace in that time, in that crazy storm that you're in. And to think of it this way, it's not alone, like someone might loan a tool to you. He gives it to you to keep. John 14:27 says this. Jesus goes back to the Father and he prepares a place for us. He tells the disciples this. And he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." It's not alone. It's you get it. Because he is the Prince of Peace. And then he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So no one else can give you peace except for God. You cannot find it inside of yourself. And you definitely can't get it from the UN. In fact, I would just want to let you know that the world's peace is counterfeit. It is fragile. It is not real. They talk about it. They hope for it. They work towards it. And yet, they are speaking of a different type of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And we'll get to that in just a second, but I want you to see this. The United Nations just recently put out this giant statue that is titled the International Peace and Security. And we have a picture, if you could put it up there. It doesn't look like peace to me. In fact, there were a lot of posts about how this resembles what Daniel talked about, the beast in Revelation and in Daniel, where it was a lion and an eagle. And there's some interesting correlations here or parallels. 1 Thessalonians 5:2 says, 2-3 says, it talks about peace and security and how the world offers it. It says in that passage, "For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night, while the world is saying peace and safety. Then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains as a woman with a child, and they will not escape." That's a great Christmas passage, isn't it? And yet, Jesus came into a chaotic, messy, difficult world as we are in today. And the world is saying, "This is peace over here, and this is safety and security over here." And Jesus says, "That is not real peace. The only real peace you get is from the Prince of Peace, and he comes to give it to you first and foremost between you and God." And so, three steps towards peace. You have to start with having peace with God. In fact, there's 300 verses in Scripture on peace, shalom, in Hebrew, yirene, however you want to say it, in Greek. But there are 300 verses on peace, and there's this peace from war, there's peace and quiet, but there's three important types of peace, and that is peace with God, peace internally in your heart, and then peace with one another, relationships, So internal with God, or internal with God. Sorry, I'm trying to say eternal with God, internal with self, and external with others. And so how do you get this peace with God? Well, Scripture tells us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies to God, Christ died for us. And we can have that relationship with God because of what Jesus did on the cross. Now, our relationship was out of whack. It seems when before Christ that it would rob us, our lives. We would try and seek for peace and joy, and yet we wouldn't be able to find it. In fact, you have glimpses of that in your life today. When we're not living for Christ, when we're not following Him, our relationships get out of whack, don't they? Our relationships with our spouses, with our friends, with our coworkers, because we don't have that peace, that connection with God. And so when our relationship is in sync with God, everything else gets better. And so the Bible says that Jesus came to restore peace between God and man. That's where it starts. As I said, the Hebrew word shalom, it means a few different meanings, but the first and foremost is to be safe in mind, body, and estate. But it is more than that. It is deeper than that. It is richer than that. It is to add to that, it is in the biblical sense, it refers to an inner sense of completeness and wholeness. So this is a whole big topic, but as when Jesus comes back, there's going to be some wrath and all that, but he's also going to bring shalom, peace, completeness. He's going to make things right. And so in the midst of difficulty, God's peace comes. In Luke 2, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Commentators say that peace is not assured to all. Not everybody is going to have peace. Because not everybody has God's grace. It's available to all, but it's not received. And so commentators say that peace is not assured to all. In fact, that during the Roman time, they had this experience where they had this word Pax Romana, which meant that there was Roman peace. It was marked as external tranquility. But the angels proclaimed something more. The angels proclaimed a deeper, more lasting peace, which came from the Prince of Peace, not from the peace of Rome. And the angels proclaimed a peace that was more real than the UN suggests, that the world will suggest to us. Peace has to come from the Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, God has done it all. This is a contemporary English version. God has done it all. He sent Christ to make peace between himself and us, and he has given us the work of making peace between himself and others. And so, again, because when we have a relationship with Christ, we accept Christ, we have a relationship with God, we have peace. We have peace between us and God, and we can ultimately have peace in our hearts, because Jesus comes in, and then we can ultimately have peace with one another because Christ enables us, he gives us that to be able to have that with others. What happens though is the reason why I have unrest in my life, perhaps maybe when you have unrest in your life, is because there's sin in this world. Because maybe we've disconnected from God. Maybe we've said, I think I know better than you, God, so I'm going to just take over. And then we find ourselves in a dilemma. We find ourselves in unrest. We find ourselves in disconnect. And in fact, we're saying, I know what you're saying, God, but I'm going to do what I want to do. And we pretend to be God. We find ourselves making the rules and making it work, or trying to make it work. Excuse me. So when I pretend to be God, when I fight God, when I ignore God, this is an act of rebellion. This is an act of revolt. And so the Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has done this for us. So if you try and make peace in your life, it doesn't work. But when you give your life to Christ, He gives you peace. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus did it for us. Peace with God doesn't come from what you can do. It doesn't come from what others can do. It comes from Christ and Christ alone. You can't be a nice person. You can't be a good enough person and have peace. You can't get peace from the government. You can't get peace from your friends. It comes from Jesus. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about hope. It's about joy. And it's about real peace. In fact, Romans 5:10 says, for if, while we were God's enemies, I already kind of pointed to this, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? We have no more. We don't have to be an enemy anymore with God. We are reconciled. It's kind of like, you know, that friend of yours that, or it used to be a friend, and they broke trust or they hurt you, and you're struggling to forgive. You know, and it's like when that person comes to you with gentleness and with a repentive heart, and they say, will you please forgive me? And you actually have that sense that you can, like, I can do this. I can forgive you because of that. This is kind of similar. God forgives us. He forgives us for everything that we've done wrong. He's gentle, and He gives us this peace, and he gives us the relationship with Himself because of what Christ did on the cross for us. Hebrews 7:27 says, unlike the other high priests, He does not need any sacrifices day in, first for His own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when He offered Himself. We don't have to do anything other than receive it. It's like a gift underneath the tree that you don't have to work for. You don't have to earn it. It is wrapped and ready for you. You receive it. You open it up. It's there for you. And God wants to give that to you today. When I have peace with God, then I can have peace internally. Inside, I can experience peace. I can go through life no matter what happens, circumstantial. I can experience peace because He is the Prince of Peace and He gives it to me. Colossians 3:15. I'm not giving you 300 verses today, by the way, on peace. But there are a lot of good ones. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. And so shalom means wholeness, completeness. It's this internal peace that you get, not because of what you've done, not because of who you are, not because of anybody else. It's because of Jesus in your heart. And so if you have a broken heart, He gives you comforting peace. When you have a confused heart. He gives you guiding peace. He gives you this peace. I don't know if you've ever had this question, what should I do, Lord? And he gives you, you walk this way because he tells you to go this way, and you have this tremendous peace knowing that that's where you're supposed to be and that's where you're supposed to go. He gives us forgiving peace when we felt ashamed and when we felt guilty and we felt totally rejected because of what we've done wrong. He gives us this forgiving peace, this embrace, and he invites us back. And he gives us this confident peace when we have this worried heart about our problems. Have you had those moments where you've gone to God and you've said, God, here are my problems, and I'm really worried about them? So typically, we don't do this. We do this. Okay, I got to figure this out. I got to figure this out. Right? Instead of like, okay, God, will you help me figure this out? He gives us that peace. So the Prince offers real peace. Peace with God, peace with internally, and peace with others. Financial peace, right? Physical peace, emotional peace. So peace with God, peace with self, peace with others. The further we get away from God, the more it messes our relationships up. And so as I get closer to God, we talked about this last week, as I spend time with Him, as I read His Word, we experience more of Him and His peace and more of His joy. And so, but the further I get, the more unrest I feel. And so, why is it important to seek God? Because we need that in our lives. In fact, in our relationships, when we have unrest, we tend to try and fix it, right? We try and make it better. But if we came together, sometimes Susan and I will do this. There's unrest, and she'll remind me. She'll say, hey, we just need to pray, because that's where we'll get the solution. And so God is the one. He is the source. He is the source of hope and joy and peace. Ephesians 2:13-15 gives us another glimpse into this. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for He Himself is our peace. He is the peace who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. So first we have peace with God. That's where it starts. Then we have peace within, and then we have peace with one another. It's kind of like a drink, a hot drink. You have it filled up, and if someone bumps you, right, you spill it. And so when we fill ourselves up with self, then someone bumps it and it spills all over and it empties all over, and we get upset because the person bumped into us, right? And we blame them for help. We spilled ourself all over. And really, God is saying we need to empty ourselves out and fill our cups with Him. Be more like Christ. And so when we fill ourselves up with Christ, when He fills us up, we have those things, joy and peace. So I'm going to give you three more things just to finish up this morning. And that is, number one, we need to have an experience with God, a moment of clarity. We find moments of clarity in God's Word. We find moments of clarity from His Spirit. And when we spend time with Him, we have these moments where it's like a light bulb, right? All of a sudden we're like, oh yeah, I get it. That's why I need to get in God's Word more, is because it shows me. It gives me clarity. It gives me to understand where I'm at and where I need to be. Mary had a moment of clarity when the angel came to her and said, "This is God's will, and you are to be part of it." And she had this clarity, and she realized that she wanted to be a part of that, and she said, "I will obey, and I will do what you say." Joseph had a moment of clarity in a dream, and he realized, "Oh yeah, Mary, I shouldn't be mad at Mary because she's telling me the truth, that she is pregnant, and it's not some other guy. It's because the Lord has put it on her to be the mom, the mother of Jesus." And the wise men, in nature, they experience this star, right? And they see the star and they get it. They realize that there's something more out there. And so they have this clarity. We're going to have a little friend to come up and preach. Oh no, he's going to play the drums. And then the shepherds, this is preparation for to be a drummer. Good job, dude. Can he be an analogy for me sometime? That'd be great. Wake us up. And then the shepherds, they had this miracle where the angels came and they told them about all the prophecies and what to find in Bethlehem. And it's interesting, they go to Bethlehem and it was exactly how the angels had told them. And so they had this experience, this epiphany, this moment of clarity, and they understood, they realized the truth behind it. And so it can happen in nature, it can happen in church, it can happen through a friend, but it also most importantly happens through God's word, and it has happened through dreams, God has spoken, it has happened through conviction, the Holy Spirit speaking. And so having our eyes opened and being willing to see what God is doing is the first one, to seek after the Lord. Ephesians 1:18, Paul says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope in which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people." And so, do you want your eyes to be opened? Seek the Lord. He will open them, and he will give you that peace. Only you can get it through Jesus. The opposite, though, is denial. The opposite is, I don't have a problem. Everything's fine. Everything's great. And yet, we trick ourselves, don't we? Fine. I've told you this before. Fine means freaking out, irrational, neurotic, and emotional. You've heard that, right? And so, that is typical of our lives. We need God's peace. And so internally, if you're worried, if you're stressed, if you're anxious, if you're insecure, Jesus wants to give you his peace. He wants to be the peace in your life. He wants to give you a moment of clarity. And so he does that. Skip ahead here. Isaiah 48:18. "If only you had paid attention to my command, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea." And so when we have peace with God, he gives us peace. He gives us that peace that will flow like a river. And so, moment of clarity. And then the second one is humility. When we realize that we can't do it on our own anymore, we give up, we let go, we just go like this and with our shoulders, and we give him everything we have. God does oppose the proud, though, but he shows favor to the humble. James 4, 6. But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. When we come to God, when we humbly say, I've tried to do it on my own. I've tried to figure it out. I've tried to make it work. Now I'm just going to give it up and give it to you. That's called humility. When you say, I've messed it up, I'm sorry, will you please forgive me? That is humility. So it starts with humility as well. And he embraces you with that. Isaiah 26:12 says, "The Lord, you established peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us." That's acknowledging that God is God and we are not. That is humility. Because of you, God, I have breath. Because of you, God, I have blood flowing through my body. Because of you, God, I woke up this morning and felt pain in my muscles, or right? Because of you, not because of you, but because of life. It's just tough sometimes, isn't it? Peace that makes no sense at all in the midst of pain and struggle is the peace that God offers. In the midst of the storms in the central United States, we can pray for them. We need to pray for them. But they can have peace in the midst of losing everything. They can have peace in the midst of storms. Because the peace doesn't come from circumstances. The peace doesn't come from what we do. It comes from God. And it is the peace between us and God. It is the peace between internally, and is the peace that we can have with one another. So, experience a moment of clarity, express an attitude of humility. Philippians 4, it's always good to remind ourselves of this verse, isn't it? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, it goes beyond your even brain can even contemplate, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Which means that if you keep reading on to the end of that passage, it says he is the God of peace. And so because he is the God of peace, he can give you peace. And so that's a hard command. That's a hard thing to actually play out in your life, isn't it? To actually not be anxious about anything, because it is so easy to do. But this verse helps us to present those requests, to give our worries to him because he cares for us. Instead of worry, we should be worshiping, right? Instead of panicking, we should pray. Instead of trusting ourselves, we should trust him. One will lead to panic and pressure and lack of peace, and the other will lead to peace because we're trusting in him. And so the last thing I want to tell you is expect Jesus to help you. Expect him to give you that peace. Expect him to help you in those difficulties. Expect him to walk through that with you. It says in Scripture that he will never leave you nor forsake you, and he is with you. And so if you do this, you will find rest. If you do this, you will find peace. You will find the Prince of Peace. He tells us in Matthew 11, 28 through 29, this is one of the many, many verses that says, I will be with you. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. You will find peace for your souls. Soul rest and better sleep, right? We need this. We need more peace in our lives. And so my point is simple as this. Stop looking for peace in other places. You're not going to find it in yourself. You're not going to find it in your friends, in your government, in your workplace. It's just not going to give you the real peace that you need. You're only going to find it from the Prince of Peace. And God knows that you need this. And so he says, come to me. I am the source of peace for you. I will give you rest. I will give you that peace that you need. And so this Christmas, like any other Christmas, is stressed, full of a loss of life all around us, full of difficulties, full of uncertainties about what the next year is going to hold. There's this possible hope that you're going to have some enjoy cookies and Christmas seasonal things, but what we really need is internal peace from the Prince of Peace. Hope that Jesus is going to come back. He is. And hope that he will walk through whatever is coming in this new year. And so, if you're tired of being stressed out, if you're tired of being worried, if you're tired of being in unrest, Jesus is your solution. He is the Prince of Peace. And so give those things to him. Come to him and give him your worries. I want to read this prayer to you and we'll conclude. It's just an anonymous prayer that I found a while back. It says, loving God, please grant me peace of mind and calm my troubled heart. My soul is like a turbulent sea. I can't seem to find my balance, so I stumble and worry constantly. Give me strength and clarity of mind to find my purpose and walk the path you've laid out for me. I trust your love, God, and know that you will heal this stress. Just as the sun rises each day against the dark of night, please bring me clarity with the light of God. Amen. And amen. Seek the Prince of Peace.